Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's December 13th, 2020. Coming up in the Krusty Connect podcast, Who Do We Believe? Part 2. More liberal debauchery behind closed doors of Red China, more government spending, and more lackadaisical leadership coming our way. All that and more coming up in the show. Stick around.
Sweetheart. Because I am hard, you will not fight me. There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthy.
This is the Krusty Canuck Podcast, a Canadian veteran's point of view on politics, social, economic issues, and life. Here's Krusty.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Krusty Canuck Podcast. I'm your host, Krusty Canuck. And I just want to say happy Hanukkah out there to my Jewish listeners and happy holidays to everyone else who's tuning to my show. And a big thank you to everyone who came out last night to my live stream and who contributed. Thank you once again. You guys are awesome. Some decent questions, some decent dialogue, some good conversation going around. And in the near future, I'll be working on a better streaming service so I can actually display those questions that people ask me. And therefore, viewers who don't really want to partake in the conversation but want to listen can see what's going on. Had a couple emails today in regards to that, so my apologies to those listeners and viewers out there who don't really get the gist of what I'm talking about when it comes to my live streams. I will do better, but please be patient with me. I work solo on this project. And in the future, I would like to hire someone, hopefully, if, you know, the finances do prevail. But it takes viewers like you to contribute and to volunteer some of your time and a few dollars to help me reach my goal. So, as I said in the title, in regards to what's been going on politically in the past week or a couple of weeks or the past little while. Yes, the Rebel Media put out a story there on Thursday. They basically asked for freedom of information, got some information, 34 pages worth of dialogue and little tidbits displaying and showing that the Liberals had an interest on bringing Chinese troops to Canada and train. How convenient, right? Of course, you know, Mr. Trudeau loves China's basic dictatorship. He said so in 2012 and 2013 and redefined it back in 2015. So I'm not going to get into brass details of all these articles. I'll leave them in the description and all that good stuff. And just before I go on, viewer and listener discretion is advised. I do swear on this show. So, and this show is not meant for kids. Anyhow. So, I use the title, Who Do We Believe? Because who do we believe, again? You know, what's going on? You know, because of this beer bug and other issues, we are constantly being told that we have to lock everything up. Now the province of Alberta is being locked up as we speak. I was actually out and about today getting some gasoline and getting some breakfast for my wife and I. And it just seemed so bloody dismal. Like, honestly. You take a drive down the highway, go to a gas station, go to any store, you know, put your mask on, walk in. There's no music going on, no festive celebration, no Christmas decorations. Pretty bleak, I say. And pretty devastating at the same time, too, that we have these elected officials that are constantly jumping the fucking gun in the name of safety and helping us to keep things, you know, good. Yet they're taking away opportunities for people to go out and shop and flourish and to work all in the name of safety. Now, I've said this before, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, okay, you know, there are a lot of anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers out there. And I'm, for one, getting sick and tired of the masks. And I, for one, will not be forced to take any vaccine. And I don't blame anybody else for that matter, too. I haven't had a flu shot in the better part of 11 years. And I'm still here. And I've been sick maybe once that whole time. And that only lasted maybe a few days at least. I try to eat relatively healthy, keep my head above water. You know, try not to overspend to buy things that I can't really afford. Not like our government, of course, but that's a different story, and I'll be getting to that shortly. And it's just a bloody reminder on how much control and how much faith that so many people have in these leaders to decide what is good for us. And yet a lot of these leaders are taking home a giant paycheck while other blue-collar folks such as myself, yourself, people in your life, people that you know, are struggling to get ahead. Which kind of brings me to a story that I read in the CBC this morning about a lady in the PEI who had a cake business, cake decorating, cake baking business and all that. And she applied to the CERB and CEBA there respectively back in March, did what she was told to do, filled all the paperwork, crossed the T's, dotted the I's, made sure everything was legit and honest, just to help her along her way. And now, recently, she got a bill from the CRA stating that you owe us $18,500 back for receiving said payments. And yet there are aficionados at Leon's and other chain stores in this country that also applied for CERBA and CEBA and got themselves some nice dividends in the fucking return. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's a question. How is that fair? And once again, who the fuck do we believe? I'll leave links in the description in regards to that story from the CBC. Now, I'm not a big CBC aficionado, but after reading that article, I'm thinking, okay, you go, what, WTF, what's going on? Here's a legitimate person who applied for a service that the government was offering in light of this issue, and then said government office is turning around and trying to take it back. Can you say Indian giving? Right? Supposed to be helping people out, and then because they made a mistake, they have to take the money back? Well, how about they own their shit? But I guess it's too far-fetched to ask government officials to own their shit, because this is the type of government that has no accountability, right? Oh, it's Harper's fault. Yeah. Or it's someone else's fault. Yeah. See, that's what happens when you get unqualified people calling the shots for this nation. Again, right? And I made a mention this one of my last episodes, too, that everybody's so worried about the CEBA and CERB payments that, of course, the CRA is going to turn around the next fiscal year and ding everybody anywhere from 45 to 55% tax on that money or demand, it gets paid back like that poor lady in PEI. Like I said, I'll leave a link in the description for you guys to read and decide for yourselves. But, holy shit. I don't know what to think. Tell me what you think. KrustyBCanuck67@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Instagram, Facebook. You can also find me on Wimkin, the MeWe application, and on Parlay, too. And if you just want to write me a card or send me a letter or send me some swagger, please take advantage of my mailing address. That will be in the description column there, too. And if you want to support this podcast, please consider donating. You can join the page on YouTube or try my new Buy Me a Coffee application, PayPal. Do what you can. Every little bit helps, ladies and gentlemen. So please consider. I'm not going to sit here and demand cash like some of the younger podcasters out there who snap their fingers and shake their butts and demand gratuity for that. I actually sit and I read articles and I put together these episodes, not just for myself, but for my listeners alike. And if you feel like donating, please consider donating. Membership in YouTube has its perks. Like I said, I'm working on a hockey jersey still. My designer, he works in a different job, so he's away a lot. So he hasn't a lot of time to sit and really design me a great shirt for my crusty Canuckers out there. And please take advantage of my customized girl shop, too. I have some new swagger up there as well. And I still have a line on Teespring, too. So you can check out both those shops. Get yourself some crusty Canuck merchandise, hopefully for a loved one or for yourself before the festive day. So carrying on with this Who Do We Believe? Part 2. Watching Question Period today, sitting with my wife, and just listening to the nonchalant BS garble farb that has come out from these leaders, right? Just, there's all these fiscal plans in the works, fiscal anchors, fiscal guardrails, and yet why can't they just say a fucking budget? No, of course not, because they want to keep spending and spending and spending in prosperity. And in light of all this dilemma and the beer bug, our infinite sock puppet leader, potato head, sock drawer, sock boy, puppet master himself has created another tax for us to do. So look forward to paying another 40 cents or another 45 cents more at the gas pumps, not to mention the additional clean fuel tax that's going to stifle us all for the sake of the environmental catastrophe in light of this pandemic. I don't know what to say, folks. Usually every December, as far as I can remember, I have always been in somewhat of a festive mood. Like I said, I've never been religious, but You know, we look back at our ancient days where, you know, we were pagans and tribes alike, and celebrating the winter harvest and celebrating the snow gods and the sun gods and just celebrating a unity. And yet I don't see that unity right now. Regardless of what's going on in the United States, regardless of what's going on here and who's meddling in Red China right now and what China's plans are, I would have to say due diligence nonetheless. Now, I received an article from a fan of mine there this morning. It's quite the interesting read, and it's based on his own personal experiences with being in the military, how he looks at the world, and he wrote a pretty good essay for me. And I told him I'd share it on the show here, and I'll get to that shortly, but it's really fucking good, and I'll read it to you later in a few minutes here. But it's disturbing because I kind of agree with him on a lot of it. Speculation when it comes to tactics, when it comes to movement, when it comes to infiltration. And I find it hysterical that the rebel media put together this great story and presented the facts to the Canadian viewers, and the Globe and Mail put together a story, National Post put together a story, True North Media used the story too, and yet you're not seeing the facts come out of the mainstream media, yet it's been talked in Parliament already. And I'll leave a tidbit there from Aaron O'Toole and from Christopher Freeland sparring in Parliament too. But I'll let you decide, my listeners. What do you guys think? Like I say, you can reach me at KrustyBCanuck67@gmail.com. You can find me on Wimkin, Instagram, Facebook. You know, write me a letter or two, send me a card, send me some swagger at my mailing address. There's many ways you can reach me via YouTube, via Podbean as well. And don't forget to click like and comment and give me a thumbs up and ring that notification bell too to let you know when a new content is coming your way. But before I carry on, here's a word from my sponsors.
This is Brian Boucher, the new CEO of Kanawha Gold Corp. We have gold at 99% purity with discounts ranging from $100 up to $200 off the ounce. This is the right place to buy, from 2-gram cards to 400-ounce bricks. We have any quantity of gold you are looking for. We also sell by the ton, not like your ex-wife. Visit us today at kanawhagold.com, kanawhagold.com.
In October of 2015, Lindsay Robbins, like many of her fellow Canadians, was struggling with the turmoil of mental illness. The ups and downs of what she was going through was shaping her realities, and she longed for structure. As luck would have it, that structure presented itself to her in the form of gardening. And through gardening, Lindsay had an awakening that led her to create Produce for Heroes. Lindsay realized that our veterans were going through their own mental struggles, and through her own experience, she realized the power of community. By desiring to help the way that she had been helped, she has created a program that provides relief to veterans. Her food program, which aims to provide veterans and their families relief from the stresses of food insecurity and help alleviate the cost of living for those that have sacrificed so much for their country. Whether it's through directly contacting Produce for Heroes or through a friend's referral, all veterans and their families living in Canada are welcome. By shining a light on the struggle of veterans and their families, Lindsay is hoping to get her fellow Canadians to hop on board and support Produce for Heroes and our great veterans. If you or a veteran you know needs help, produceforheroes.com is a great place to start.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can reach Lindsay at Produce for Heroes and Scott and Brian at kanawhagold.com. I'll leave links in the description there for you under the heading Sponsors. So carrying on with the whole, who do we believe, part two? That's the question. Who do we believe, right? Now, Pierre Poilievre, a financial genius as far as I'm concerned. Yes, he's a member of the Conservative Party. I guess you can say he's Aaron O'Toole's right-hand man. Has actually stood up to start a petition against another carbon tax. Now, we've seen lots of petitions come and go. We've seen lots of ideas come and go. But I think he's probably the only politician, really, that has been more vocal and more against what the Liberal mandate has been proving the past 5 years. Now, as I said, I watched Question Period this morning. My wife and I, we kind of watch that religiously because we like to get decent insight and different perspectives when it comes to politics in this country. And regardless if it's from CTV or not, yeah, it's a mainstream conglomerate. but there's still some integrity, I think, left in that broadcaster somewhere. I don't know. But I'm seeing more and more of the independent guys out there getting the word out and speculating based on actual research rather than just a narrative. Genuine individuals such as Frank P. Vaughn, Adam Daniel Mazay, Daniel Boardman, Press for Truth, Rebel Media, TNC News, there's the Liberty Talks from Odessa and her husband in Vancouver. There's a one lady, Nadine, out, I think, out of Lethbridge. She has a great channel, too. I'll leave links to their channels as well. Just getting some more insight and more in-depth perspectives from blue-collar folks such as myself, such as yourself, and a majority of my listeners out there, too. Right? We're missing that in Canada. Right? We're missing that definition of getting up and going to work every day and doing what you can to get things done. Right? And speaking of perspectives, I'll get to that essay right away here, too. This came from a friend, a fan of mine, who's been active in my live streams and sent me some wonderful emails. And this is what he wrote to me personally on how he feels and what's going on. So just bear with me here. I'll just cue it up and I'll read it to you as all here. So, Dear Krusty Canuck, hey, buddy, on your stream there, I said I had a theory on what I think is about to happen. Based on my assessments, it might sound crazy per se, but hear me out. And why I think why it is going the way I think it is going. Here is my assessment on what I think is about to happen here in Canada and why. Subheading, Chinese military takeover of Canada. Why? Let's look at what Canada has to offer. 10 times natural resources than the U.S. The oil sand itself in Alberta alone has won the world's largest oil reserves. That is not counting other natural resources such as lumber, minerals, gold, and water. A huge land mass that can easily fit 150 million plus million people. There is also geographically located right in the next USA. What Canada also has is this puppet government that is ruled by China, with roughly 70% of its population firmly believe in the ideology of socialism, communism, is the way of the future. Let's look at this geography of this nation. The only places where conservative ideology is valued is west of Manitoba to the Rocky Mountains of BC. Everywhere else, the vast majority of the population wants socialism or communism or thereof. That being said, from China's perspective, even if the Liberal government does everything China asks for, as far as the Chinese government is concerned, the Liberal Party at best is a liability to China. The Liberal Party is a sellout. And if they are willing to sell their own people, they are willing to sell out China in the future. Knowing that, it cannot be allowed to happen, especially when it has the assets needed to be the perfect staging ground to do a ground invasion on U.S. soil. The Liberal government will eventually need to hand that power over to the CCP, and the best way to do that is a military takeover. Also, from China's perspective, China is overpopulated, and its natural resources are nearly spent. The CCP wants to replace the U.S. as the next world superpower. In order to do that, they need more land and the natural resources to sustain them. Canadians provides all of those things they need to reach their goal. If the CCP wants a military takeover, they need the perfect storm. What I mean by that is the Conservative Party being viewed as useless, tyrannical, outdated, or hated to the point where they change their core identity to win elections. The Liberal government, the current puppets, to essentially cripple the country to a point where there is a massive food shortage, and the value of the dollar is worthless. They also need to be viewed as completely useless, treasonous to the Conservatives. The idea is for Conservatives to take up arms against them as a last resort. The inside knowledge on how the puppet nation's military works, hence the training with Chinese troops during winter warfare for Canadians, all that good stuff. The inside knowledge of how the puppet nation military works, from leadership to individual soldiers, how they fight, what their morale is like, and what their reaction is going to be, which branch of the military is loyal to the people they protect or the government, how the puppet nation's population is going to react to the region, from region to region, who will be the assets and who will be threats, and where is the priority list. Most importantly, the CCP needs to be able to arrive in Canada as liberators and have the population viewing them as heroes, saving them from a failed government and ushering a communism that the population is begging for. At the same time, able to have conservatives treated as domestic terrorists and traitors, very similar to how has the Taliban was treated in Afghanistan. People might say, what will the U.S. do? What will they do anything about it? Given this scenario, at best, the U.S. will put troops along the Canadian border and allow a special refugee program for Canada. Will the U.S. do a military intervention? No, a hard no. And here's why. There are two scenarios. Assuming Biden wins the election, Biden is the USA version of Trudeau. The U.S. will be too busy fighting a civil war to get rid of Biden than to do anything else. Assuming Trump can expose everyone in time, the only way he can realistically put an end to all this insurrection act and martial law, once that's done. There's going to be a lot of rebuilding to do in the USA, and as far as Canada and U.S. relationship is concerned, we are going to be transformed from friends to moral enemies. I wouldn't be surprised if the CBC reports USA as the next Nazi Germany and go home to the right-wing extremist and a terror state. If scenario one was to take place, the U.S. is in the same boat we are in, and they won't be able to do anything to help. If scenario two was to take place, the U.S. won't be able to put boots on the ground in Canada because it would be a nightmare scenario for U.S. soldiers knowing that not only they will be fighting the CCP, but also the Canadian population that wants them dead. Either way, Canada will be alone in this. This is what I think, Krusty. I hope to God that I am wrong about this, but if I'm right, Canada is in very serious, serious trouble. And a thank you to that fan out there. I won't mention his name out of the sake of privacy, but I appreciate that. And I think he's onto something there, folks. You know, what does it look like tactically? What does it look like in the social spectrum of things here? Right? There's a lot of Canucks out there that think, socialism is the new fantastic utopia that's going to save us all. Just give all the power to the government, right? Without really looking at the fact that all these socialist dictatorships that have popped up and gone, and the so-called quote-unquote democratic socialism model they have in Scandinavia, people forget that about 60% or 65% of their income goes to the government so they can have all these perky, wonderful, quote-unquote free things, right? So all that money and all that time and effort you put in building your life and trying to create a nest egg for yourself goes to the fucking dogs because government knows best, right? And I think it was a very, very well thought out, well written little essay. And speculation, yeah, but it's also based on one veteran talking to another veteran based on tactics and how the world works. So it's something to think about. And I'll leave a link to that essay too. Hopefully I get his permission to put it up there. But it gives you something to think about, ladies and gentlemen. Something to put in your pipe and smoke and ponder. What's going on? Who do we believe here? Now, it's okay to allow somewhat of a foreign enemy to train in winter warfare, right? Luckily, there were some senior staff that put a kibosh to it. But why was it done to begin with? Why was that idea even pondered, right? You can go back and talk about the Harper government and some of the deals they had with China when it comes to trade, okay? When it comes to trading, not sharing tactics and ideas and coming aboard one another and training in this country and training in our country, trade ideas. But the Trudeau government just did nothing but re-hyphen it and make it stronger, right? Think about it, you know? That'd be like Pierre Elliott Trudeau letting Soviets train in Canada during the 1960s or the early part of the 70s. How would that go over? Eh? Yeah, but why is it okay for Chrystia Freeland and Justin Trudeau and a few other global affairs aficionados stick their nose in military affairs to begin with when it comes to training, allowing members of a communist front to train in Canada? Regardless if they put the kibosh to it in 2018 or 2019, it shouldn't have fucking happened to begin with. But then what do I know? I'm just some crusty old veteran, right? Like, again, tell me what you think, ladies and gentlemen. CrustyBCanuck67@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Wimkin, MeWe, Parlay. You can find me here on the tube and on Podbean. Send me a comment. Give me a thumbs up. Don't forget to click the little bell. And if you feel like donating, please donate. Every little bit helps this time of year, folks. Like I say, I'm trying to build this podcast into something bigger and brighter. And hopefully, next year, if there is some light in our horizon, I will be developing some comedy. So I'll be doing a channel just geared towards political and social and economical skits and try to get some laughs in the cycle, too. Anyhow, carry on with the whole who do we believe part two. Who can we believe? That's the thing. You know, when we look at all these lockdowns that have been going on, you've heard me rant about Pallister, you've heard me rant about Doug Ford. Now you're going to hear me rant about Jason Kenney. Okay? Now, when he won the election and he beat the Notley NDPers, I was tickled fucking pink. Honestly, I was. Because regardless of how you look at the conservative dynamic or the liberal dynamic or parts thereof a liberal dynamic, one spends, one has to tighten the belt strings. Another tightens the belt strings, another one has to spend. So you see it back and forth, on the bus, off the bus, on the bus, off. We've seen it all before. But I found it really, really disingenuous that Mr. Kenney had to lock things down like he did. Okay? Alberta has had it up the chuff since the Trudeau government came in. More so when the Notleys took over. The Nutley Notleys and all her fucking little entourage. Right? Let's increase more spending here, more social programs, so people become reliant on government. And yet the idea of self-sufficiency and creating your own enterprise and doing things what's right by yourself and by your families, that's out the fucking window. And I don't blame Kenny for turning things and trying to, you know, tighten the purse strings a bit. But when it comes to what's going on now with this issue, shame on you, sir. Shame on you. Right? And regardless of what health restrictions are out there, you don't fuck with people's constitutional rights. Doesn't matter if it's America, doesn't matter if it's Canada, doesn't matter if it's Britain. Every democracy has its constitution and the fundamental right of freedom of association and expression. Okay? People getting tickets for being at parades. People getting tickets for going to a certain business. Business owners getting ticketed for being open. Right? We all saw that fiasco in the last couple of weeks where they had mounted police officers go to a barbecue restaurant, just in case there might be, quote-unquote, a riot. But where were these mounted horsemen when they had the BML activists causing shit in major cities? Okay? Where were all these cops when they had blockades on railway tracks during January and February of this year? Where were they? Huh? Standing by to stand by to wait for further instruction. Yet so-called appointed health officials can point fingers and say, you go stop that right now. I think it's a question of morality and ethics. For being in the military, we had the right to question an unlawful command. We had the right to do that. And I have good friends of mine that are police officers too. So my concern is that, are they going to get the order someday to do something that's unethical? To do something that's tyrannical? Am I going to have to stand my ground against them? To my listeners out there, I'm sure a lot of you guys know police officers too. Are you going to have to stand your ground against your friends and the people you know as well? In the name of safety? Hey? Something to think about, folks. Especially based on that essay I just read to you too. It's something's in the works. And like I said last night in my live stream too, I don't see anything that great coming up in the horizon. I try to be optimistic. You've heard me ramble on and all about trying to help your community out and do what you can. And I still believe in that. But something in my gut is telling me something's not right. And something is going to happen. And we have to do our best to be ready for it. Well, I don't want to have a scenario where it's East versus West, or patriots versus compliance, or authority versus non-authority, maskers versus anti-maskers, vaccines versus anti-vaxxers. I don't want to see that. I want to see this country united. I want to see people flourish again. And I want to see common sense prevail and conventional wisdom again prevail. But it's getting fucking ridiculous with mandates and little dictators popping up everywhere in the guise of health officials, in the guise of premiers, in the guise of a fucking prime minister and the deputy prime minister, pint-sized twat herself, calling shots. And what's left for us, the people that do pay the taxes, people that do carry the economic burden, people that don't want our personal savings to go into some fantastic fucking New World stimulus package because we have government officials that can't count their own fucking pennies. Yet they're still getting paid 180 plus or more a year. How about they take a goddamn pay cut themselves? How about they cut off about 35, 40% of what they earn per annum and throw it back into the government kitty we call the economy? There's a fucking idea. Right? How about they fire some of these boards that sit around and scratch their butts and their balls all goddamn day, worrying about the size of a hat when they should be goddamn worrying about the longevity of businesses and opportunity in this country? But then again, what do I know? I'm just some crusty Canuck. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Crusty Canuck Podcast for another 13th, for the December 13th, 2020, on this beautiful day. It is nice outside. It's a bit cold out. I'm going to go get some more gasoline before the price goes through the fucking roof. Let me get some more groceries, get what we can afford at the moment, too. But like I've said, you know, this time of year, let's try to be festive and let's try to be good. Let's try to help our neighbors out as best we can. Let's try to be realistic. And let's hope and pray to whatever gods are up there that something devastating will not happen and we don't have to see any kind of violence or any kind of totalitarian bullshit. I, for one, don't want to see it. I don't want to see any more war. And I don't want to see good people in this country experience that either, too. But by the way things are going, I think it's creeping, folks. In the meantime, do what we can for brothers and sisters, community efforts. Shovel a bit of snow. Give a few dollars if you can. Help with gasoline. Help with heat and hydro. Help with groceries. And do what we can for each other just to keep finding the light that we all carry so deeply. Anyway, I've been Crusty Canuck on this beautiful 13th of December, 2020. Pay attention to my community page for updates and what's going on with the podcast. When I have you, please check out my stores and all my swagger. Purchase some Gucci Crusty Canuck kit. I've got a jacket that's being designed as we speak in my Crusty customized girl store there. So please check it out and do what you can. And if I don't see you as before, well, I will have an episode up before Christmas anyway, but I say again, Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish listeners out there. And please send me an email. Tell me what you think. Tell me what your thoughts are. You'll find all the links in the description and all that good stuff. And sorry, I couldn't find that soundbite there between Aaron O'Toole and Christopher Freeland, but I'll leave a link in the description nonetheless so you guys can decide for yourselves the total buffoonery that has been going on in our parliament, especially over the Chinese troops issue. So anyway, folks, as I say, look after your friends and your loved ones. Do what you can to help each other out this festive time of year. Happy Festivus, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy Holidays to all those out there who are having a hard time. Our hearts are with you. And all we can do is hope for the best, right? Keep our chins up. Do what we can. Do what we can to help each other out as best we can, folks. Anyhow, take care. Look after your friends and loved ones. And like I always say, folks, humanity and merit wins the day. Take care, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Sweetheart, because I am hard, you will not like me. There is no racial bigotry here.